The title of our lesson this evening is A Better Prayer Life. There are many Christian duties and obligations that we have to accomplish. Some of those duties are very, very simple in nature. Take, for instance, the worship of God. That's a relatively simple responsibility, is it not? All we have to do is get up, get dressed, drive to the building, and participate in worship as God has directed, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. But there are other obligations that we have that are extremely difficult. One of those is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with other individuals. We don't do such a wonderful job of that as individual Christians. There aren't very many Christians who are engaged actively in one-on-one personal Bible studies. Why? Because that's a difficult thing to accomplish. Sometimes it's very difficult for us to overcome sin and temptation that we fight on a daily basis in our lives. So there's Christian duties and obligations that are difficult. There are also obligations that seem to be very, very simple, but yet once we start engaging in them, they are not as simple as they seem. In fact, they can be extremely difficult in nature. And one of those is prayer. Most individuals would like to have a better prayer life. Oh yes, we engage in it, but yet oftentimes we find ourselves just repeating the same thing over and over and over and over again, and our prayer lives seem dull, our prayer lives seem a little boring, and maybe we find that we just don't have the faith and the trust that we really need in prayer to the Almighty God. So for the next few minutes, what I want us to do is look at some tips that will help us to improve and better our prayer lives. In fact, we're going to be looking at 10 different points. So we're going to be here a couple of hours. So just settle back. No, we'll cover these very quickly. Notice point number one, make an appointment. Folks, what we mean by that is this: set aside some time in your day when you are definitely going to pray to the Almighty God. Not long ago, we talked about the psalmist in Psalm 5, and we said that Psalm 5 is what some refer to as a morning psalm. And in that psalm, the psalmist says this: I will lift up my voice unto thee in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Here was a man who knew that when I arise from my bed of sleep, when it is morning, guess what I'm going to do? I am going to pray. We read of another man by the name of Daniel. There was a king who signed a law into effect that said the only one to whom you can pray is the king of Babylon. The Bible says, and when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, the windows of his chamber being open toward Jerusalem, and he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks unto his God as he did aforetime. Here's a man who set aside 3 definite, specific times during the day that I am going to pray to God. I don't know about you, but if I make a doctor's appointment or if I make a dentist appointment, guess what? I am going to keep that appointment, aren't you? One reason is because you have to set it about 5 months in advance, don't you? But you make an appointment with somebody, guess what? You keep the appointment. That's my exhortation to you tonight. Folks, make an appointment with God, regardless of when that is, even if it's only 1 time a day. But guess what? Keep the appointment. Be there, show up, and pray unto the Almighty God. Point number 2, find you a solitary place to pray. Folks, you and I need to get away from the distractions of this world. You and I need to find us a place where you and I can be in quiet communion, quiet fellowship with the Almighty God. Sometimes individuals just get up early in the morning because nobody else is awake, and they have their quiet time with the Almighty God. Sometimes individuals have a specific room into which they go. Maybe it's an office. Maybe it's just another room of the house that they can escape to in order to pray unto God. Some individuals find that it is best for them to pray in the car. Some individuals like to go at lunch to the park, and it is there that they pray. But they're separate and apart from all the hustle and bustle, all the noise that is found in the world. And we find examples of that in Scripture, don't we? The Bible says in Mark 1 verse 35, that he arose in the morning a great while before day and departed and went out into a solitary place and prayed. The he of that verse is none other than Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oftentimes, Jesus would withdraw himself from his apostles, from the multitudes. He would escape into the mountains in order to have fellowship and pray unto God in quiet solitude. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6? But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet and shut the door. Wow, that's what I find interesting. And shut the door. And prayest to thy Father, how? In secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret, he shall reward thee openly. Our personal prayer lives are not a matter of trying to show some arrogance before the world. We escape off all by ourselves, just me and God, and guess what we do? We pray to the Father which is in heaven. There are times when there needs to be prayer with other individuals, don't there? Tonight, we've already offered up prayer unto God, and we've prayed one with another. But we're not talking about those times. I'm not even talking about family prayers. I'm talking about those times when you and I need to be in solitude with the Almighty God. Make an appointment and get away from everything in this world and pray unto God. Point number three. When you pray, cleanse your heart of all sin and iniquity. The Bible says in Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. When there is sin and iniquity in our lives, we have a barrier to the throne of heaven. There is something there that is going to hinder my prayers before God. Thus, when you and I go to God in prayer, one of the very first things we need to do is we need to ask God to forgive us our transgressions. I find it interesting in that little simple model prayer that Jesus gave us, he says this, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Jesus knew sin hinders our prayers to God. And in that prayer, he prays for the forgiveness of the Almighty God. Nehemiah had heard that the gates of Jerusalem were burned down with fire, that the walls of the city of Jerusalem laid waste, and that laid heavily upon his mind. And immediately he goes to God in prayer. The first thing that he does is he gives honor and praise and glory to the God of heaven. And he acknowledges him as a covenant God of Israel. But then the next thing that he does is this. And I confess the sins of the children of Israel, which they have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. First he honors God. And the second thing he does is confesses his sins and the nation's sins before God Almighty. If I want my prayers to be effective, if I want my prayers to be received in the mind of a holy God, I must cleanse my mind of sin. When you and I do that, two things are expressed, aren't they? Number one, there is honesty before God. God, I have sinned. I have transgressed your will. And there is also humility. I stand in deep need of thy cleansing and thy forgiveness. And those kind of attributes are well received before the Father, which is in heaven. A fourth thing that you and I need to do is this. We need to learn to pray. On occasion, the disciples came to Jesus and they said this, Lord, teach us. I find it interesting that they didn't say, Lord, teach us to worship. They didn't say, Lord, teach us to study the Bible. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to love one another. Oh, no. In Luke 11, verse 1, they come to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray, even as John taught his disciples to pray. That's interesting, isn't it? 2,000 years ago, here were individuals who realized that they needed to be taught how to pray. Individuals who were struggling with their prayer life as well. Lord, sit down and teach us exactly how we need to pray. And there's so many things for us to learn, aren't there? One of the things we need to do is we need to study in depth the Lord's model prayer in Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Folks, that is not a prayer to be said in rote or by memory. It is a prayer from which we are to learn how to pray. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. After this example, pray ye. And he teaches us exactly what you and I need to do as we engage in prayer. Notice, first of all, he says, go to God the Father in prayer, our Father which art in heaven. He tells us exactly who we are to direct our prayers to. Not to Jesus Christ, not to the Holy Spirit. You go straight to the Father which is in heaven. Notice secondly, he says to honor his name. Hallowed be thy name. We need to learn how to praise God in our prayers. We're going to a magnificent being, an individual who is worthy of glory and honor and power. And you and I need to learn how, when we get before His presence, to honor Him with our words. On and on we could go, studying lessons from the model prayer. But notice also, we need to learn the conditions of acceptable prayer. Just because we pray doesn't mean that God is going to hear our prayers. There are certain things, certain conditions that God wants from us in order for our prayers to be acceptable. And then this last one is one that we talked about in our lesson on Psalm 5. You and I need to learn about the nature and character of the Almighty God. When I know who God is, when I know how God acts, I can better pray unto that being and be heard in my prayers. Remember, God is a God of wrath. God is a God who hates sin. God is a God who does not even want to stand in the sight of sinners. And therefore, it is acceptable for us to go before God and pray to Him to relieve us of our adversaries, knowing that will be heard. Why? Because He is a holy God who will protect His people. How do we learn how to pray? Number one, Bible study. All the things that we've just talked about are in the pages of God's Word, aren't they? The model prayer is there. The conditions of acceptable prayer are there. In fact, we also even have examples of many individuals who went before God and prayed, and we can study those and learn how to pray better. Also, there are many, many fine men in congregations who stand before congregations and lead them in prayer, and we need to listen, not just to the words, but also to the manner in which those prayers are said. And we need to learn how to pray to the Almighty God. Next point. We need to know what we're going to say when we get before God. Remember, we've made an appointment, haven't we? In the morning, I'm going to wake up, and guess what? I'm going to make my appointment with God. When I get there, I need to know exactly what I'm going to say. And folks, I need to be just as specific as I possibly can. I wrote down here, come to God with a list. Sometimes we just kind of wake up and we just what? We just pray. And if you really recorded those prayers, guess what they'd sound like? The same thing over and over and over and over again. Don't they? We got our little 2-minute deal that we get up and pray to God and we walk off and we feel good about our prayer lives. We need to put in a little bit more time than that. And in the morning when I arise, I need to know exactly what I want to go to God and talk to Him about. And I want to be just as specific as I possibly can. Question, have there been others in times past who were specific in their prayers? Absolutely. Hannah went before God and she says, God, give me a child, not just any child, give me a man child, didn't she? She knew exactly what she wanted. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11. Look at this man. Jesus asked this blind man, he says, what shalt thou have me to do? And the blind man said unto him, I will receive my sight. That's exactly what I want. All I want to do is see. He didn't say, I want my food today. He didn't say, I need clothing. I need one thing and one thing only from you. All I want is what? All I want is my sight. We see another individual, Jesus, praying, don't we? Did he know what he was going to pray for? Father, let this cup pass from me. That's all he prayed. Wasn't it? That's what he desired. That's what he wanted. And he was very specific in his prayer request before God. The Apostle Paul told the church at Ephesus, pray for me. But he didn't just say, pray a general prayer for me. Just pray about anything for me. He said this. He says, pray that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul told them exactly what he wanted them to go before God and pray. Pray to God that I will have courage to speak what needs to be spoken. Specifics in prayer. Let me ask you this. If we go to God with specifics, doesn't that give us purpose in our prayer lives? I've got something that I've written down, and I know that I'm going to talk to God about this. Before every elders meeting, guess what I do? I write down everything that I'm going to talk to those men about. Everything. Got it on a little post-it note. Sometimes it's 2 things. Sometimes it's 5 things. Sometimes it's 2 post-it notes. 10 things. And guess what? One by one by one, I make mention of those things and scratch them off. I go to those men for a purpose. I go to those men with a reason. And we need to do the same thing with the Almighty God. God, this is exactly why I'm here to talk to you. And this is exactly what I need to talk to you about. It might be a situation in life. It may be a person in our lives. It may be an enemy in our lives. It may be some sin that I'm dealing with. Whatever it is, talk to God about something specific in your life. Now watch this next point. Folks, when you and I go to God in faith. This is a little old-fashioned. I was reading a book and it said that our faith in God, when we go to Him in prayer, is much like ordering out of a catalog. And kids say, what's a catalog? We don't have catalogs anymore, do we? So I guess I need to change that and say something like this, like ordering off the internet, or maybe like ordering from Amazon. Then, oh, okay, I get it now. I may mention this morning that we're going to begin a class soon about 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. And we're going to start covering all those points. that are made about love. Charity suffereth long. When I get ready for a class, first thing I like to do is try to find me a few books that are going to help me in that study. And if I find one or two, guess what I do? Amazon, here I come. I love the used book section. I hate the shipping you have to pay. The book cost a penny. Shipping costs $3.99. Drives me in crazy. Sometimes you add the shipping to the book, and guess what? It's better just to go to the store and buy it. But guess what? I put in an order last week for three books on 1 Corinthians 13. And you want to know something? I ordered those books with faith. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind that next week, guess what I'm going to have on my doorstep? Three books on 1 Corinthians 13. My friends, that's exactly the way you and I need to go to God in prayer. God, this is what I want. This is what I need from you. And you pray that prayer, and you get up from that prayer, and you believe it. You believe God heard it and that He's going to answer that prayer. All things, whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, that shall ye receive. Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. You turn over to the book of James, and James says, when you experience trials and tribulations in your life, the one thing you need to do is go to God and ask for wisdom. James 1, verse 5. He then goes on in the very next verse and says this, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sin, wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We go to God, we ask Him for something, we get up and we walk away and say, well, I'll probably never get that. No, you won't. No, you won't. Remember a while ago I made mention that there are conditions of acceptable prayer, and here's one of them. When you and I go to God, we go to God in faith. We go to God believing that He's going to hear my prayer and answer that prayer. And I get up from my prayer life and I walk away knowing that it will come into my life just as I have ordered from a catalog. I'm going to keep that because I'm old. Notice this next one, folks. Pray with boldness. Have you ever looked up the word boldness? Man, the definition of that is just unbelievable. Frank, blunt, unreserved, open, no concealment, confidence, courage. Another definition is freedom. Still another is assurance. One of the things that most people do not like anymore is an individual who is bold. They don't like that. They don't like somebody who just walks in and tells it the way it is. Oh, no. Shun him. We don't need him in this meeting. He just tells it the way it is. That's exactly the kind of person that God wants coming to Him. Let me ask you something. Have individuals in the past prayed with boldness? What about Abraham? Abraham knew that Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed. Do you remember what he first asked God? Listen to this. Wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? That's his first question to God, knowing that Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be destroyed. A nasty city, a vile city, exceeding sinful. And the first thing Abraham says, you mean to tell me you're going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? He also says this, shall not the judge of the earth do right? Boy, that's pretty bold, isn't it? You remember Jacob when he was wrestling with that angel over there in Genesis chapter 32, verse 26? The angel tells him, let me go. Folks, you're wrestling with deity. That's who he was wrestling with. He was wrestling with the second member of the Godhead. And you remember what he said? I will not let thee go till thou bless me. That's pretty bold, isn't it? Wrestling with deity, he tells you, let him go. And you say, uh-uh, not till you give me a blessing. That's bold stuff. What about David? Again, in Psalm 5, what did he say? Destroy thou them, O Lord. That was his request to God with regard to his own enemies. That's a bold statement, isn't it? You see, there's a lot of individuals who believe that boldness is disrespect. You know that? They don't like that. Man, he's just pretty frank. Ooh, he sure is blunt. Ooh, he just tells it like it is. But folks, just because a man tells it like it is, just because an individual is blunt and to the point, does not mean that that individual is being disrespectful. God tells us, come to me openly. Come to me concealing nothing. Come to me and express everything you need to express freely. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4, verse 16. You've got something you want God to do? Go tell Him what you want Him to do. You've got something you want to get from God? You tell Him exactly what you want from Him. Folks, He tells us to come boldly into His presence. This one is an interesting point. When you and I pray, we need to pray that God's will be done. As I was thinking about this point, there's two things that we need to keep in mind. First, in the pages of this book is God's will, isn't it? And I need to pray that God's will that is found in this book will be done. I need to pray that. But as I look at the Scripture, and as I study the Scripture, and especially as I study the prayers of different individuals, guess what we come to realize? That God also has a specific will for my own personal life. Oh, Vic, you can't prove that. Oh, yeah, I think I can. Do you remember in James chapter 4? The Bible says that there were individuals who went off into a certain city. And we're going to continue there a year, and here's what they said. We will buy and sell, and we will get gain. We're talking about personal events in their life. I'm going to leave this place. I'm going to go over here for a year, and guess what? I'm going to set up shop, and I'm going to make a mint over the next year. Do you remember what James says in James 4, verse 15? For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will buy and sell and get gain. You see, God has a will for my life. It may not be that it was His will for those men to go to that city and buy and sell and get gain. You see, they needed to pray in harmony with what? In harmony with God's will. Let me give you an illustration or two. One of them is found in David. Remember God said that the child that Bathsheba bore had to die? Isn't that what He said? That's the punishment, David. If that be the case, let me ask you a question. Why did David pray for the life of the child? Why did he do that? Because David knew that my prayers can change the will of God. Yes, right now, it is God's will for my life that this child die. But before that child died, while that child was sick, every day David was praying and praying and praying for the life of that child. He wouldn't eat, he wouldn't drink. And when the child finally died, he arose, didn't he? Washed himself, cleaned himself up and ate, and his servants were shocked. And they ask him, why did you do that, David? And David said this, who knows that whether the child was living, God would spare his life. It's amazing, isn't it? Remember Jesus in Gethsemane, what did he say? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Was that a stupid prayer? Was that a useless prayer? Was that a prayer Jesus should have never uttered? Jesus, you knew you had to die. Why are you praying for this cup to pass from you? Jesus knew that God has a will for my life. And he went before God and he looks and he says, Father, let this cup pass from me. But we know what else he said, don't we? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Watch this. Prayer can change the will of God. No, that can't happen. Oh, yeah. Hezekiah became sick in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 1. A prophet by the name of Isaiah comes to him and tells him to set his house in order because he's about to die. Isaiah leaves the king's room. Hezekiah turns his face to the wall and Hezekiah begins to pray unto God and reminds him of the things that he has done that are positive in his life. Isaiah hasn't even gotten out of the king's court. And God tells him, you go back in and talk to Hezekiah again. And when he gets back in, what does he tell him? I shall add to thy days 15 years. Now, wait a minute. What's going on here? God just said that I need to set my house in order. I'm about to die. Now he comes right back and he tells me what? Oh, no, I'm going to add to your years or to your days 15 years. Why? There was one thing in between. Prayer. You see, prayer can change the mind of God with regard to His will for my life, folks. But every time I pray, what do I pray? Father, not my will, but thine be done. Watch this next one. Never quit praying. You and I need to ask like a little child. 2 weeks ago, my little granddaughter was in town, Sailor. And she loves to sit in the front seat of a car all by herself. And here's what she asks when she sees a car. Me drive to. Sometimes she'll say, I drive to. Every time. We're out in the garage. And there she sat in front of that little Toyota, sees the front door, and guess what she says? Me drive to, me drive to, me drive to. If I heard it once, I heard it 30 times in a minute. Couldn't believe it. I said, good grief, kid. Hush. Me drive to, me drive to, me drive to. This will be all y'all remember out of this sermon. And you know what happens? Adults finally just get sick of it, don't they? You just open the door, pop her in the seat, shut the door and say, drive, kid. And guess what? That is exactly what God wants us to do in our prayer lives. Did you know that? Look at all those verses that tell us to pray and pray and pray and pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18, verse 1. The Bible tells us, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse or 5, verse 18 or 17. The Bible says, continuing instant in prayer. Romans 12, verse 12. Continue in prayer. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Never, ever, ever, ever quit praying. Ask and ask and ask and ask and ask. Some say, well, if you just keep asking, isn't that a lack of faith? No. No. It's not a lack of faith. In fact, is exactly what God desires of His children. He wants to hear you. He loves to hear you. When the door of His throne room is open and the voice of His child comes through that door into His ears, it is well-pleasing in His sight, folks. And the more you ask, and the more you ask, and the more you ask, guess what? The more you have the ability to have power with God. Last point. Look for answered prayers. What I mean by that is this. Be conscious of God's answers. Sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray. And then later on God answers the prayer and we never even know that He answered it. In fact, we almost forgot that we asked for the thing that was answered. And we scratch our heads and we wonder, wow, why doesn't God answer prayers? And He's answered thousands of them in our lives. One man suggested this, keep a notebook. Here's what I pray for, and here's when God answered it. Just start doing that over the next year. You may have to buy a couple of notebooks. But when you start seeing what God does, number one, it's going to make you more thankful. Here's what I prayed for, and here's what God has given me. Thank you, Father. It's going to increase my faith in my prayer life. Prayer does work. God does answer prayers. Look how many times I've prayed for certain things to happen, and look how many times it's come to pass. Just over the course of the last couple of weeks, what have we been praying for? Successful surgeries for two women in this congregation, and both of them came through those surgeries wonderfully. Elizabeth got to go home a day early from her surgery with absolutely no pain, a little soreness, no pain. Folks, prayer has been answered, and we need to thank God for those answered prayers, don't we? Also, it will cause me to be more earnest in my prayer life. Boy, if he answered that one, guess what? I'll guarantee you he's going to answer this one. When that happens, you and I can say, as the psalmist said in Psalm 86:13, Lord, listen to him. Great is thy mercy toward me. That's the kind of people we need to be. Appreciative to God for his outpouring of benevolence toward us. Prayer. Did you know prayer is a special privilege of the child of God? It's a spiritual blessing. It's given by the Father to his children. And every one of us need to take advantage of prayer, don't we? And my hope is this, that the things that we have pointed out in this lesson will help you to develop a better prayer life, a more effective prayer life, a prayer life that involves great faith in the answers of God to the things we request. When you read and you study prayer, oh, there's so many things that people say about it. So many little one-liners that you can say. You just say, wow, that's just good stuff right there. And there's one that I read, and it has stuck in my mind for many, many years. And it's very, very simple. And it says this, prayer moves the hand of him who moves the universe. Man, that to me is mind-blowing. To think that my little voice can enter the mind of the Almighty God who controls everything. And my words can have an impact on what He does. Pray, my friends. Pray. And never, never stop. Maybe you're not a child of God, and you now have access to the throne of heaven. Tonight you can be born again into the family of God. If you believe in the Christ, are willing to repent of sins, confess the name of Jesus, you can be immersed. Jesus said that an individual must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. The very moment that you arise from the waters of baptism, you become a member of that kingdom, a member of the family of God, and now you have access to who? To the Father, which resides in heaven. If you're a Christian, are you an erring child of God and need to repent of sins and confess them and ask God to forgive you? Maybe you just need the prayers of the congregation. Won't you come as together we stand and as we sing?